I'll only work with someone if I can see that they're committed. LA is so gatekeepy and is so annoying sometimes. I am throwing myself into relationships and using that to validate myself. I have commitment issues.
Me too.
Like, this is like their fault. I'm perfect.
Right.
I wasn't. There's a lot of things wrong with you that you need to fix.
Do you ever feel like you neglect yourself for the happiness of others?
Oh, wow. So we're going to like deep dive into my therapy.
Hi everyone, I am Hannah and we are back for another episode of Prugogi Pod. Here today is June Summer Park. We met through some mutual friends. June is working in artist management as well as A&R, as well as video production. He just kind of is talented in a lot of ways. And yeah, we had a very cool conversation about just like self-reflection, being present, as well as just like grinding, being yourself. We went through a lot.
It was a roller coaster.
Which like best types of combos. But yeah, that hopefully that's a good enough transition. We're getting into the episode.
It was
now.
Good. I had like a huge nerdy phase. I was like a Reddit kid. I used to just build up like this database of just random facts. Shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. So. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of the same. I like feel like I know a little bit about a lot of things. Are you kind of like jack of all trades, master of none? Or are you like pretty like set in your specialties and whatnot?
I think I'm specialized, but I am like, I know a bit of this, a bit of that, a bit of this and a bit of that. Cause, and it's like, it comes from a bad place. Like I just have commitment problems.
Oh.
I have commitment issues.
Me too.
Like spans into my relationships, I guess. But like it spans into like, I'm like super down to do something.
Right. And it's then, like, let me try something new.
Yeah. I think there's nothing wrong with like trying multiple things because like my school system or like how I came into college was so like unorthodox because my parents were like, you know, raised in a Korean household, get a degree, go somewhere good. Yeah. Go to school. So like when I graduated high school, you know, I gone to NYU and like dream school for me. Parents are happy. I went there, proceeded to hate the next 3 years of my life. And then like mentally, I was like going through a lot of like problems with myself, self-image. Mm. You know, I was a chubby kid growing up. So like,
I wouldn't have guessed.
Well,
makes sense.
That's a different story. But yeah, I had like a lot of issues with everything and I didn't like communicate with anyone.
Okay.
And it all bottled up to the point where I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. So eventually, after my junior year finished, I like took a step back. And I was like, do I want to keep going to school? Even though there's only a year left now in my program. I made that hard choice. I was like, no, I don't. Can't do it anymore. Came back home. Mm. Went to CC for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then I transferred over to UCI and I got my degree in psychology.
And so I guess like at UCI, like what motivated you to pursue psychology?
I kind of liked psychology and like forensics growing up. Mm. Like I've always been like really drawn to like true crime. I think there was something seriously wrong with me because I would like look up serial killers during school when I'm bored and I'd just be like reading like everything that they've done and I'm just like, this is so interesting that, like, they didn't get caught for so long.
Oh.
And it's, like, because, right. Like, mine wasn't, like, I was not interested in, like, them. I was interested in, like, the process of, like, the process of, like, the investigations.
Oh,
and, like,
okay.
Yeah, no.
I'm, like, justify yourself. No.
The process of the investigations. That's why, like, I wanted to do forensics. Like, I was, like, man, some of these people are so dumb. Like, I feel like this clue was so obvious.
Right. Like, if you're going to commit a crime, like, let's be a little smarter about it. Like, let's not get caught. So.
I agree. Right. And I think, like, that's kind of what drove me into, like, doing psychology. I'm always interested in, like, how people are. I really do like the people-people interaction. It's very nice. It's so wholesome sometimes. It's also so terrible sometimes. But it just like came back and I was like, that's it. I'm done with creative. I'm so burnt out from like doing creative at school. Mm. But funny enough, when I was not doing creative stuff for school, my last 2 years at UCI, I was getting extremely busy with, like, things were starting to, like, kick off for, like, my creative stuff now.
Wow. Okay. I love that. I love, like, when, oh, now that there's less pressure on it, now that I'm, like, not trying as much, like, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. And so, yeah. So you kind of got more into creative stuff. I know you have, like, background in, like, video production. And so what about now? What are you up to now?
Now I'm kind of, like, I still do video production. I also do artist management. I don't know why I, like, thought for so long. But
okay. I do artist management. I know you know what you do.
Fun fact, I saw Hannah at the show that I was throwing. Shout out Exposition.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a show like about a couple weeks back. It was my first time throwing a live event. Oh man. Right. What did I sign myself up for?
Yeah.
But it was really rewarding, really fun. I don't know. Can you attest?
No, I had a blast. Like, because, okay, right? We met through, like, mutual friends, like, through my sister and whatnot. And, like, I was like, oh, like, June is throwing a showcase for artists. And I was like, okay, you're just combining, like, things I love. Like, love music. I love supporting, like, our community. And then, like, live events is, like, my favorite. Like, it's, like, my absolute favorite. But then I've also been on the other side of it, where it's like, I know how much goes into planning. And so I have like that much more appreciation for it. And so, yeah, no, I had a blast.
I didn't pay her to say that. Like,
oh, yeah, no, yeah, no, no, no,
she
no.
like did that on her own. Oh, yeah. Like that was all her.
No, like genuinely, I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like you did a great job. You and your team did a great job.
Shout out my team.
Yeah.
It was fun. But yeah, I do artist management. I'm nowhere near like where I want to be, obviously, but I technically picked it up at the beginning of this year. It all started with my friend, Donnie.
Donnie, you know, Daydream.
Shout out Donnie Daydream. Yeah. But I was just like, hey man, like, I feel like I'm kind of like doing some management stuff for you. Can I just like say like I'm managing you then? And he was just like, I don't think it's gonna change anything. So yeah. And like, that's it. Like
cool.
Cool, yeah. I'm like, all right, like, we'll do that. And I still consider him like my first like artist out of like, because I do 5 artists right now. Like, I really like, I will only kind of like work with someone, and not just like art, like music wise, but I'll only work with someone if they're like, I can see that they're committed to what they're doing. Yeah.
Okay. Because right, like, I think any sort of like creative endeavor, any sort of like art that you're putting out into the world, I think like I now more so than ever like understand like how like tightly you hold things, because it's like, this is my baby. Like I have to like my heart and soul is going into this. And so I think it's hard for people to put out their art. And so I can like understand why like one of your main criteria is like, as long as I see
heart
effort, you know, like we doing it.
It's so emotional. No, but that's true. And I know like anyone that I work with, like when I met like your sister first, and then I met you too, and like I met anyone recently in this year, I'm like, wow, like people that I can see like really care about what they're doing, that's like what really like motivates me to want to like keep working and like help them out with whatever I can. And like, it's like building a selective network, because LA is so gatekeepy and is so annoying sometimes. People will like get like a small lick of fame or like something like hits their head, and then they're just like, boom, drop your entire group you came up with, drop like the people that were with you when you weren't doing much. They'll like go surf the crowd with whoever, and then they'll be like, oh, like, you ask them for like help or something, and they'll just be like, you know, I'm not gonna help you.
Right.
And it's like, I hate that. Like, anyone that I meet, like, I want someone else to meet them and like help out. Cause like you said it earlier, it's a collective. Like, we're all here together. We're all here to support each other. And I feel like if people just kind of don't accept that, and they're like, I'm gonna hold on to it. Like, I get like the level of like, you shouldn't give away everything for free.
Right.
But like, there's that level of like, nah, I'm not going to give you this just because.
Right.
And it's like, okay, like, I'm not asking for handouts. I'm asking for, like, can we just, like, work together?
Right. Because, yeah, I think, like, you know, I've thought a lot about, like, scarcity mentality. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think that's where a lot of, like, the gatekeeping comes from. Of, like, I'm not going to share my network. Whereas, mm-hmm. I think I, like, stand more so, like, where you do. And in that, like, I'm like, oh, if I find something out that's going to, like, help out another friend who's, like, doing a creative project. Or even if, like, right, like, people will reach out and they're like, oh, how did you get started on podcasting and all of that? I'm like, very willing to help, because I'm like, we're like, it's like a class, like, we're all coming up together, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just like being open about, like, resources and being like just like a good person at the end of the day, I feel like those are things that, like, I hold, like, very dearly, because yeah, I've, like, had my fair share of, like, you know, interactions with people. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, we were tight before you got clout, and then mm-hmm. you switched up.
Exactly, you know? Obviously, you and I have, like, a lot of clout. Like,
oh, yeah, like, duh. Like, literally, like, you were shades on in the car. Okay, like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
While, like, we're just, like, thinking, like, oh, like, should I take him on or off?
Right.
But, like, no, on the real note, though, like, you know, you and I, like, all of us, like, our group, like, our collective, like, family and, like, friends here, like, we're all, like, I wouldn't even consider anyone in my, like, circle of close friends as, like, blown up yet.
Mm.
And it's, like, you know, people have different tractions in their life. But, like, I don't think anyone's, like, you know, like, Triple S, The Weeknd.
Right.
Like, big star.
Right.
And, like, so, like, I just don't think there's a reason ever for, like, an ego to, like, develop if you're, like, still kind of with all of us working. We're all trying to figure it out.
Right.
And if we're, like, helping each other, that's cool.
Right.
But
yeah. Also, it's, like, fun when you're, like, able to, like, collaborate on creative projects and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm going to use this opportunity to say I'll call you out if you ever switch up.
Please do. If anyone, like, that's the one thing I promised myself was, like, when I entered into all of this, whatever this is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this huge thing. I, like, said, like, I don't want to switch up because I really do, at least I think I do, care a lot about, like, people and myself. Mm. I'm a very, like, if everyone else is happy, I'm happy.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want to ever lose touch of that. Mm. So you should call me out.
All right.
If, like, one day you're like, oh, there's June. And he's, like, wearing his shades.
Oh, indoors.
Indoors. Clearly not even sunny outside.
And so you mentioned something interesting just now. Mm. If the people around you are happy, then you're happy. Do you ever feel like you neglect yourself for the happiness of others?
Yeah, that's like when you texted me, oh wow, so we're gonna, like, deep dive into my therapy.
Yeah.
That's like when you texted me earlier and I told you about my codependency thing.
Mm-hmm.
I did, like, I had a pretty big issue and I still do, like, it's gone a lot better.
Mm.
But back then it was, like, really bad. Like, I couldn't, like, do errands without, like, hitting up someone and trying to, like, go out and do something with them.
Mm.
I was very uncomfortable with being by myself.
Why do you think?
I think it has to do with my coping in the past was if something came up,
uh-huh.
bottle.
Like, suppress until it goes away.
Until it all goes away. But it doesn't, because when you're by yourself, guess what comes flooding back?
Right.
All those problems. I thought that I could always, like, fix other people's problems before myself.
Mm.
So I felt good. Like, if I helped my friend, like, talk for an hour or two,
mm-hmm.
you know, they got through whatever situation just now and we talk about it, he feels better, she feels better, and I'm just like, I feel better.
Right. Like, I'm like a good person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Mm. I was like, I don't feel better technically.
Right.
I'm not gonna really specify what it was exactly, but there was a moment that happened like a year ago where I kind of had to really take a step back and reevaluate everything about myself, because when I came back from NYU, I was at a bad mental state, but I thought I fixed it, but it was like band-aid.
Oh, right, right.
And then, like, fell off, and all the band-aids, like, fell off, and I'm, like, bleeding. I'm like, oh my god.
Open heart surgery.
Oh my god, my mental problems.
Yeah.
But I realized, like, after that event, I had to kind of set myself up, right? And the first thing was to get comfortable with myself. And it was very interesting because I started forcing myself to do things by myself first, like errands, groceries, gym, whatever it is. And then it progressed. Like, I started doing like trips on myself, like movies, like reading something, just walking around. A lot of things that, like, in the past I'd always try to hunt someone to do with me.
Right.
But like now I'm just like, I'm gonna do this by myself. Like, I feel fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I like very much, I don't think I've ever like considered myself codependent, but I have a very hard time being alone in my thoughts. I think, like, you know, same as you, I like try to be honest with myself and my emotions, and I feel like to an extent I am, but I know that there's like a deeper layer that like I don't really hit. Like, there's definitely like a deeper, like vulnerable layer that I never show anyone. Almost to the point where like I'm not even like conscious of it or aware of it. And so I've been trying to like do things alone. Like, I literally like went to go eat alone. And like, I think one of my, when I get the most anxiety is Friday night. I don't have any plans. I'm home alone.
FOMO.
Yeah.
Major FOMO.
Yeah. It's like,
I get that.
I'll be like, oh, like, I'm so tired. I did something like every single day this week. Let me just chill at home. Mm-hmm. And this chill sesh like turns into an anxiety sesh because I'm like, what do I do with myself? Like, I can't even relax. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, you know, through practice and like literally just like through repetition, it's like, oh, okay, I think I know how to like be by myself.
Be happier.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. and so, you know, like, codependency and all that, I think that comes up a lot in relationships. And so, you know, we're gonna, let's dive into how codependency has, like, you know, kind of come to light in your past dating or relationship experiences.
Yeah, no, I definitely did. Like, I think, like I said, with my life in general, if codependency was there without a relationship, it's gonna be like even more present when I'm in a relationship. And like, I think the biggest takeaway from that was I have a perception of how I see relationships. Like, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, I think it's normal for them, like maybe boyfriend or girlfriend, to check up on each other, even if you don't talk the entire day. Mm. Like, just like a text at night, a call at night.
Right.
And I thought that was normal. I think that's normal.
Yeah.
But like, again, like, everyone is entitled to their own way of perceiving their relationships. So that codependency also kind of mixed with my trust issues. And a lot of the times I would spiral like very fast if things were like not, I guess, like working out all the time.
Okay.
And for me, communication and transparency is like key. Like, I really just would prefer, like, if we're gonna fight, we fight, and then we just figure it out before the night ends. But again, like I think 50% of it still goes on me for having the issues with like coping, spiraling, just not like mentally being all there if I needed to. And I think it also was just, okay, it's like a funny story with like my friends, like, sat me down one time after a relationship, and they're like, I'm like heartbroken. Like, I'm a very like heartbroken type person. Mm-hmm. And I'm heartbroken.
Me too.
And they were like, hey, like, let's kind of like figure out like what's going on. And I'm like, I'm just like, I just have the worst luck. Like, I'm down bad all the time when it comes to like that type of luck. Because like, when I gamble and stuff, my luck is pretty good. Like, I'm on the luckier side. Like,
oh, let's go. I'm also lucky.
Yes, so, there we go. We're just like, you know, you walk in, press a slot, $1 million.
Yeah.
Easy.
Exactly.
Never happened, but
sitting next to a millionaire, y'all.
Never happened to me. I'm sorry. My bank account is not minus
a million. It's okay. We're building.
We're building. Slow but steady.
Yeah.
This was like a whole perception thing that I changed to, was like, back then I'd be like, my luck is terrible. I always have the worst taste in like relationships. And my friends are like, have you like considered like there's some trends with the people that you've talked to in the past? I'm just like, not really, no. Because like, I was so used to blaming the other side before I would like blame myself. Which is weird because I'm a very self-aware person. But like, when it came to that specifically, I'd be like,
self-awareness out the door.
Out the door. Like, yeah. I'm just like, this is like their fault. I'm perfect.
Right.
I wasn't. Yeah. I was like, damn, like, you are, there's a lot of things wrong with you that you need to fix.
Yeah, yeah.
So after like that talk with my friends, I like went back and I was like, you know what? Like, I am kind of like throwing myself into relationships and using that to validate myself.
Whoa, okay.
Which was not an easy thing to come to agreement to, like myself wise.
Right, right.
I was like, oh, I am doing this. And when she compliments me, I feel valid. If I compliment myself, I don't care.
Right.
Like,
it doesn't, like, my word, my opinion means nothing.
Exactly. Like, who's this June guy? Right. Why is he complimenting me? but, like, it was just, like, that was, like, the first step in, like, changing an intrusive thought of mine. And, like, I really had to, like, love myself. Like, I love myself. But it was, like, hard because, you know, I told you I grew up a chubby kid. I have, like, you know, I have skin acne. And like I had a lot of things that like I had to be self-aware of, but like besides that, now I'm a different person. And I think that like it hasn't registered. It's like 70-80% there now, but in the past it was like 10%.
Right,
like I look in the mirror and I see like my old self.
Right. Right.
This is why like I'm very hard on myself as a person with work and with anything in life. I feel like it's a double-edged sword because you tend to get the best products out of yourself when you work harder.
Yep.
But you are burning yourself two times as fast trying to get that done. That's and, facts. You know, I was like, let's start doing things to help you out here.
Right.
You know, we share the same body, right. My mind and my consciousness or whatever. So I was like, okay. Like, I picked up meditating. I picked up, like, working out more consistently. Discipline kind of helped a lot with setting things straight.
Ooh.
That's relationships. Bad. I told you when you asked, you said it. You're like, how's dating? And I'm like, down bad. It's horrendous. I'm not even like looking at this point. And I think that's like a good sign though. Cause in the past I'd always be like, I kind of want a girlfriend. But like now it's just like, I'm fine with myself.
Whoa.
I'm enjoying life.
I love that. I feel like we are kind of similar. Twinning. because, right, like we spoke a little bit about commitment issues. But then also, like, I think I've realized recently, like, I'm so hard on myself to the point where, like, I think it makes me intolerable of other people. And so I've noticed that, like, one of my like kind of defense mechanisms of like not getting vulnerable and not getting too close to anyone is like I will hold them to a very high standard that they can't meet. And so it's funny because like I'll never do this with my friends, but I think I do this with like partners or like potential partners a lot because I'm like, I'm terrified of like you getting to know the real me because obviously there's a lack of self-love. And so I've really been like working on like validating myself, no longer like downloading the apps just for validation.
The ego apps.
Yeah. And like, I think also admitting to myself that I'm like a human being that like needs attention has been like kind of freeing in a way. Cause I think I used to overextend myself a lot. I was very like people pleasy, would never voice my opinion because I wanted to make sure everyone else was good. And so, right, like one of my first questions, it was directly like related to my own experience of like, I was giving too much and like completely disregarding myself. Like I was so used to that. And so it's taken a lot for me to like be selfish, but I think like selfish in a balanced way, you know? Like I think I did a mid-year like journaling reflection and I was like, this year I learned to be like a little selfish and I think it's like been really good. And so I guess like just making sure and like keeping myself accountable and like there being balance in that. Even with dating, I'm kind of like chilling. I'm like, I don't need a look.
You don't need anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you have yourself.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber said that. Love yourself.
Love yourself. Yes.
It's like I get you though, like the whole selfish thing is like kind of crazy because people, you know, you grow up as a kid and your teacher's like, don't be selfish. Selfishness is great sometimes. I think in moderation. Like I definitely think I'm so glad you got to get to that point because it's like that's something I had to do too. be selfish, tell people no.
Right.
You know, I can't do that. I can't help you with this. I don't want to talk about your relationship problems right now.
Oh.
It's like, be selfish for yourself.
Right.
Because this is such a morbid way of looking at things, but I've told myself this ever since I was like 16.
Okay.
Once like everyone in my life like somehow like dies or disappears, like my family, my friends and everyone, like I only have myself.
Mm.
Like you only have yourself.
Right.
And like the only person that's gonna take care of yourself is yourself. And like that helped me really kind of like cling off of the codependency thing.
Because
I was like, I want to rely on myself. Like, right. I can't rely on someone else and then, like, not dies, but disappears.
Right.
You're just like, okay, what am I supposed to do? They're gone now.
Mm-hmm.
My life is, like, completely restructured. Why would you structure your life around someone else when you are the main character of your story?
Right.
So I think that that's, like, a hard thing to come to realization to because, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Smith from third grade is telling you split all your cookies with everyone.
Right.
You're just like, nah, these are mine. Like,
right.
I'll give you one. Like, yeah, I'm not giving you all of them.
Here, I'm drawing boundaries.
Yeah, we're drawing boundaries. Yeah. And like you say that, your principal's office.
Right.
You're done.
Right,
you're done.
Right, right, right. I'm going to start weaponizing therapy language now.
You're going to like, we're going to like have to like go, we'll get to that point one day in our lives where like TED Talk or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually used to do TEDx at school.
Oh my gosh, cool.
So I do like TED Talks.
Yeah, me too.
They're fun. They're interesting.
No, they're very interesting.
But we'll have one one day.
Okay.
And like, it'll be like,
be selfish.
We'll be
don't
like,
share your fucking
be
cookies.
Selfish. Keep your fucking cookies to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, I love that. And so, you know, when it came to your like past like relationships, things, whatnot, and like your friends calling you out, like, mm-hmm. oh, this is like a you thing. Like, what kind of people were you like naturally drawn to? Maybe still are naturally drawn to. What's your type? What's your type, June?
I'm ashamed to admit it, but it was kind of like more on the toxic side.
June likes toxic girls.
It's like it's a non-traditional. Though, like, it's like, okay, this sounds so bad. No, okay, it's like if the girl, it's like if the relationship was too stable, I'm out.
Ooh.
Like, I couldn't, like, and it's weird because my parents had a good marriage. So there's no childhood trauma with that.
Right, right.
It was just like, if my partner and I, my SO or whatever, and I were too stable, and it's happened before, where it's like, I'm like, this is too stable. Like, this is, we're not arguing. We're kind
just
of
like chilling.
So chilling.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't do this. I back out. I backed out of it. And it's like, I think that's kind of like what it was. Like, I was like, I needed some reason. I like the arguments. I like the yelling. Or not yelling. We didn't yell. But like the arguments and like, I guess like the don't talk to me for like a day and then come back type thing. That's kind of like what I think like I was like drawing myself to a lot of times. But like again, like I said, like that's also on me for like not being 100%, and you know, also, you know, 50% still goes back to the partner.
Right.
But you know, there it is. I exposed myself. My type was like, cuz like I don't have like a crazy like very specific like she needs to be this. Like it's more like a mental thing. Like if the mental, like the picture and like the image makes sense, then I'm like, okay, the relationship can make sense.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I think I do that not in my relationships, but in my life.
That's
like, I like downloaded this like app. It's called Dimensional, and it like is a personality test, but it's one of the most accurate personality tests I've like ever taken. It took a heck of a long time to like complete all the quizzes, but like it says that my toxic trait is like I will just like keep like kind of uprooting. Like I love like changing things up. Like
you're a shit starter.
Yeah, like I love not being in the drama. I'm not drama, but like I like a little bit of like stirring the pot here and there because I think a lot of times I am like uncomfortable in like stillness and like stability. Like even a couple months ago, I think my friends were like asking like, oh, how are you doing? And I think I'm so used to my emotions going up and down, up and down, up and down, that like that has become the norm. And so whenever it's like kind of like flatline, like kind of just like do, 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 I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, like I'm just like not.
This is not happening. Yeah. And you're like, I have to resuscitate it with toxic. Yeah. And you're just like sitting there going like,
who am I gonna hit up?
Ex-boyfriend, relationships, everything that I couldn't like talk to you about. Like, it's just like,
yeah.
I get you. That's like so crazy. But that's like, you know how like people always say like you're drawn to like the morbidly curious?
Ooh, I've like, never heard that.
It's like a thing where, you know, when you see like roadkill or like, hopefully you've never seen a dead body, but like you're driving on the 5, you see a car crash. Everyone wants to look at that car crash.
Right.
It's because like, I think humans are so kind of like inclined to like look at something that's like you normally turn away from, but you're just gonna be like, oh my god, like what? Is that a body? Like
yikes, dude.
You're just like, it's 5 a.m. I have my Starbies and is that a body? Like you're just like
you and your true crime. Oh my god.
It's just like, no, but like it's just like, I promise you, like it's a thing where people kind of just like are drawn to like things that aren't supposed to be
right
pleasing.
Right.
And it's kind of crazy that we're just like, I don't know, maybe we're all just like not okay here. And like,
for sure.
Everyone she's else. She's a little, yeah, yeah. She and he are a little like, eh, but like, you know, probably like we look down the streets and there's like a normal person.
But like at the same time, I'm like, I think everyone has their stuff.
Oh no, but I have this crazy, okay, I have this really crazy theory. I credit a friend who talked to me about it. Like, she brought it up to me first. Mm-hmm. And, like, I've, like, dived into it more.
Oh.
So, I call it the NPC theory. In the world, you know, most people traditionally work a 9-to-5.
Right.
That's normal. And if we're talking about a 9-to-5, let's talk about just LA for time difference sake.
Mm-hmm.
You're working a 9-to-5. Even if you work earlier hours, you're going from, like, 8-to-4
right.
or something. Point being, most people get home for dinner time. Like most people, office jobs, most office jobs will. Now, you look at the average rent of LA, you have expensive, expensive, and expensive. So when you look at the whole world in perspective, technically when you drive by an apartment, all the lights should be kind of on around like 7, 8 p.m.-ish. You know, granted, let's say some people went out to go eat. Some people are on vacation. Mm-hmm. Some people are not there. It's empty tenant.
Mm-hmm.
But the empty tenant thing doesn't make sense because whenever you try to look for apartments here, they're always full.
Right.
And you can't get a lease because there's all these mysterious tenants.
Right.
So then you drive by, you look at the apartment, and I've tested this before. I'll drive and I'll be like, why is like 3 lights on? In theory, I feel like most of those lights should be on. The NPC theory basically builds around the fact that a lot of these people don't exist. So, like, I'm sorry if I'm about to put anyone in, like, a disassociation kind of. But, like, a lot of these people I feel like don't exist in the sense of, like, they're people. But, like, once they kind of exit your field of view in your life, like a video game,
yeah,
you just don't see them again. Unless you were meant to, like, have them in your life.
Oh.
So, like, I think it's, like, a weird, it's, like, delusional. But it's like, I don't know, like I just kind of like thought about it a lot when I'm bored and I'm just like, it's so true. Like I feel like most of these apartment lights should be on. Like
right.
It's a full apartment. I know it is because I tried getting a room there.
Right, right.
And like none of the lights are on except like 2 of them. And like if they're not eating dinner and the lights are off, I guess you sleep at 8 p.m.
Uh-huh.
All of them?
Right.
Like this is like a 4-story apartment. Like right. All of them? I don't think so.
And so are you thinking that the people don't exist? Or are you thinking, like, the people that do exist are, like, not actually people? Like, what is, like, can you clarify?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm confused.
It's, like, I think they are people.
Mm.
But, like, I think that's, like, a simulation type thing.
Whoa.
Like, it's, like, there are, I think, too many things in life where you're just kind of, like, have you ever had, like, deja vu?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or, like, have you ever had, like, a real... Because I've had deja vu a lot lately, But it's like to the my deja vu is very interesting. It's to the T of like I remember the direct conversation. And like the conversation like unfolds right in front of me and I'm just like, whoa.
Like in exactly the same
way. Like it'd be like the same action. They'd be like reaching over for food.
Oh.
Saying a certain line. And I'm like, dude, I've experienced this before.
Right.
But
right.
like there's no way we could have because the topic of the conversation is so current. I don't know. There's some things that just kind of like.
Interesting.
Don't like, they're kind of weird. And I'm just like, I don't know. Life is weird. Life is strange.
I've literally never considered that before. I think I'm going to drive by some apartments.
You should. There's a lot here.
Wait, yeah. Like, there are so many apartments. And you know I'm thinking about it, right? Like, sometimes I'll record here at night and I'm like, I've, like, never seen anyone in this building. Like, literally never. Even over there, I'm like, oh, okay. I feel like the TV is always on over there. Mm-hmm. Never see a single person.
This theory kind of also helped me, like, understand, like, I used to be a very, like, future and past person. Like, I worried too much about what was going to happen.
Anxiety.
And I worried too much about what happened in the past. Trauma. Depression.
Yep.
Depression and trauma mm-hmm. and anxiety. But I started focusing more on, like, the saying, like, it is what it is. Like, it's the present. Like, you just focus on the present. I've really been, like, living by that now. Life is so much better. Go to your past. Uncover certain things. Explore it and accept it.
Mm.
You should plan carefully, but not stress about it.
Right.
But the present is where you should be the most of your time.
Mm.
And I'm like, wow, like, I really like being here in the present. Like, I'll have stuff happen to me and I'm just like, whatever.
Right.
Like, I'll figure it out. Yeah, I'll move it on.
Yeah. I think, like, I've realized now, like, it took a few years, but that, like, life is just, like, constant problem solving, mm-hmm. and I have to, like, not get so, like, worked up about it, because, right, up until this point, everything that I've gone through, it's been figured out, and so, like, if I think about it like that, I'm like, okay, that means that, like, everything in the future will get figured out, mm-hmm. even if it sucks, even if the solution sucks, I'm like, okay, I have confidence that I, like, maybe have gone through it by now and, like, can readjust to, you know, whatever the current problem is. And so, yeah, I mean, with being present, I think that's, like, constantly one of my goals because, like, I tend to run anxious. And so, like, you know, when you, like, are practicing being present, like, how exactly are you doing that? Like, how are you pulling yourself into the present if your mind is elsewhere?
It's honestly kind of bad, but it works for me. Yeah. I will literally just be like, I will convince myself that I don't give a shit.
Oh.
Like, I will kind of like mentally draw on it and be like, no, I don't care. I'm over it. Oh. And then like, it snaps me back. Because if I don't do that, like, I start worrying like, damn, like, what am I gonna do now? Like, you know, I have to worry about this. If I don't have to do this right now, I don't care. Like, oh. If it's something, like, I need to pay attention to now, right. I pay attention to it now.
Right.
But if it's, like, I have a couple days to figure it out, I'll figure it out. Like, I usually do.
Right.
And that's another thing I have to remind myself is that I figure it out. Like,
yeah.
I'll make it work.
Yeah.
Best way? No.
Right.
But I'll make it work.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just the art of, like, kind of, like, you know, I'm not going to give a shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
You should do that.
Okay, I'll do that.
Just, like, ask yourself really quickly, do I need to worry about this now? No? I'll give a shit.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I need to get into that practice. Because, like, I think a lot of the times when I'm not being present is, like, when I remember something I have to do, right? I'm like, oh, shit, I gotta text someone. Oh, shit, I gotta schedule something. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't write that email. And so maybe, like, writing things down will help even because then, you know, like...
It does.
It'll always be there and, like, I can, like, just live in the moment. And so, ooh, I like that.
You should... Because, like, I have, like... I told you, like, I have management for artists and I have video production. Every Sunday, I have, like, this thing on my notes app.
Mm.
And I just put, like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I just write, like, what do I have to do Monday, Tuesday... And it really grounds me because, like, I'll check it, like, at night every day. and I'll remind myself, oh, I have this, I have that. How close of a timeline am I getting until that's due?
Oh.
And like, it helps you kind of like stay rooted with like not having to be like, oh, I think that's due soon. Maybe I'm gonna, and then you start spiraling because you're like, oh my God, that's not done. Right. That's not done. But I think like when you kind of ground yourself and like focus on what you, and like the days that you can enjoy because you can afford to, do it. Like I used to feel bad, and I still do actually. Like it's, this is the one thing I haven't fixed about myself, is like if I feel like I'm not doing anything productive or not working, oh my God, I'm like the worst critic. I'm just like, you're such a lazy piece of shit. Like,
you're never gonna make it.
Yeah,
like,
you're never gonna make it. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's funny because like my friend yesterday literally told me, she's like, you are working yourself to the ground. Mm. And I'm like, I don't feel like I am, but like, I think it's a bad sign that you and I can relate to that. If I'm like, if we're like trying to purposely, like I'm trying to fill out Monday through Friday.
Oh.
Like to the T.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm waking up and having a meeting. I'm waking up and having another meeting. And then right. I'm jumping into another one. And then yeah. I have to work on some call sheets. And like, I'm like jumping from things to things. Like that's when I feel like really like, oh my God. Like,
we're doing this.
We're doing it. Yeah. LA Live. But like, it's like, that's so unhealthy. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to give ourselves breaks.
Yeah.
And when I do it, I hate myself for it, but I know I love myself for it because I'm like, this break was needed.
Right, like, right.
It's a very hindsight thing.
Yeah.
But
for sure. And I also think, like, I am, like, kind of hesitant to plan, but something about what you just said about, like, your planning is, like, grounding. Like, I think I'm hearing it at the right time. Like, it's hitting at the right time because I get it. Like, I'm like, oh, there's, like, freedom in planning, right? Because if you're able and you know that, like, you have to do these certain things, then you can also plan for, like, free time. Like, you can also plan for, like, spontaneity even. Because, like, I think, like, you know, I am a planner in ways, but also not. It's very weird. And so I'll kind of stack my calendar to the point where, if my friend's like, oh, do you want to get dinner tonight? I have plans. Like, I can't. And so even planning for, like, oh, let's, like, make this a free night. Like, if anything comes up, cool. If not, spend time with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, super important because it's, like I said, like, people have this, like, look, we sacrificed a stable income to chase our dreams.
Yep.
And that means we are given the freedom that 9-to-5 people don't have, which is Tuesday, I'm going to grab myself a matcha, go work at the cafe,
right,
and then take some meetings and then figure it out. Granted, am I getting paid for doing any of that? No, I'm losing money.
Right. I just spent extra money on almond milk.
On like almond milk. And you're just like, there goes $15.
Cool. Yeah, no, literally.
Literally.
Community goods, why is it so expensive?
Why is everything just so, it's like, but, you know, whatever. We have our $20 matcha now.
Right.
We're happy.
Yeah.
And it's sunny and we're working. But, you know, that's like the discipline part is like you need to now bring yourself to like make a bag because I don't think, you know, generally, I don't think anyone's really telling you, like, do this, do that, do this, do that. Like, we're kind of all old enough now where even, like, you know, our parents will be like, you know, we trust you.
Right.
I see the vision, kind of. like, it's just like, you know, tell me why, like, when I went to Korea this last couple months ago, like, I had to just go around saying, yeah, I do video. Like, I do video. It was hard to explain, like, what I did to, like, the traditional side of my family. Because, like, they're, like, what's video?
Right.
Like, it's so niche.
You're like video.
Yeah, chico. Video, chico. Oh, so cute. Like, and it's, like, you know, how do you explain that? And thankfully, like, my parents are super, like, progressive about that stuff. And they're, like, supporting me all the way through it. But, like, I think, besides that, though, again, like, you have only yourself to, like, tell you, like, go out, make a podcast, have a meeting, work with someone.
Right.
Because, like, if you don't do that, and you can technically stay in bed all day if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
But, you know, at that point, you know, I think that's when people kind of lose that love in themselves. Mm. And they're just like, I'm not going to work. I'm going to stay in bed. And I had that phase too. Mm. And like, I would not get out of my bed for a week. Mm. And it was like, because like, I had, you know, I have bouts with depression. Like, I still do when it comes time to. And then it's just like, I don't want to do anything. And that's like when it's extra hard to wake up and get my day started.
Right.
But I think like I'm more scared of like not being able to get to where I need to be. So I'm just like, wow.
Like, let me use that as a motivator.
Let me use that to motivate. And it's not the best, but like fear is a good motivator.
Oh, yeah. Maybe like using fear to like to your advantage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even like when it comes to like the gym,
mm-hmm.
I like was listening to a podcast recently and she was just talking about how like you need to be your own babysitter. Like mm-hmm. you can't mm-hmm. expect somebody to be like constantly chasing you down. Right. Yeah. And I think that applies to so many aspects like of just like life. Like, yeah, I'm not gonna rely on like a personal trainer to like get me to come work out. Like if I want to work out, then I should go. And like, right, there's so much beauty and discipline of mm-hmm. like, oh, I told myself I'm going to do this. Let me build trust in myself and like follow through.
Mm-hmm.
And right, even when it comes to like artist management, another like interview I was watching, it was interviewing another like manager and she was just saying how my artist has to give me something to manage. So if mm-hmm. they're not babysitting themselves, if they're not like motivated themselves, I'm not going to chase you down, you know? Like, yeah, so I think being your own babysitter has been like a, you know, just like a theme of
it's
like
a big thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I really like, because like I've heard that before mm-hmm. with like what that video you watched. Like, it's true. Like, that's what I apply is like, you know, like I will give you 50% and like you have to give me 50% because like all the artists I work with, like, I don't want you to think that I'm going to be, because I'm not the talent. Mm. I don't have the singing voice you do.
Right. Are you sure?
No, very clearly.
We're going to put a mic in the shower.
Very clearly we don't. But like, you know, like if you want to be an artist, that's your career and passion.
Mm.
I'm going to help you do it because you care about it. Mm. But like, if you start not wanting to, what am I doing? Like, I'm just wasting my time.
Right.
And so like, thankfully, like I haven't run into that problem yet.
Yeah.
But, like, it's something to be wary about. It's, like, as you work with people, you kind of run into people who are just, like, in it for their gains and clout, whatever. And then you have the people who, like, really care.
Mm.
Like, the ones that really care about the work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think that's when, like, trusting, like, your gut and that, like, you're a good judge of character comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, oh, okay, like, I know that I have good taste. And so I have good taste in people too, you know? But yeah, I think that's kind of it on my end for questions. Do you have any like last thoughts? Any advice for people maybe? Anything you want to leave the Kogis with?
I have like one thing to say, and I like learned it from someone else very recently. You often underestimate how much you can do in 5 years. But you overestimate how much you could get done in 1 year. And so, like, with yearly plans, like, however you kind of dictate your life, like, if you have, like, a buildup or a life plan or whatever, just know that, like, sometimes, like, things will not go your way. And, like, in 1 year, 1 year seems long. It is long. It's also kind of short. Mm. So you might overplan. You might think you could do a lot more.
Right.
But in 5 years, a lot of people underestimate what can be done. And I'd like to say, like, at least in this year of 2023, shit was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah, mm. You moving. The fact that, like, all this started in January, crazy. Mm-hmm. Expo was crazy, like, genuinely, so.
Yeah, Expo I got introduced to in, like, March. And so, like.
So that wasn't even in January?
No, it was, like.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just, like, all over the place.
June is just grinding. I'm motivated to grind.
It's, I think it's just, like, you know, I set a goal to myself this year that I wanted to do a show. And so I did. And I'm, like, happy, kind of. I'll never be happy.
Okay. Okay. It's, like, you know, like, so that's what it is. Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I think, I think, like, if you're planning stuff, take it, like, one step at a time. that's why I try to tell myself that too. Mm-hmm. So this advice is to myself and to all the Kolgis.
Right.
But like, take it one step at a time. There will be times where things just bottom down, like go south. Mm-hmm. Things all of a sudden look up. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of like an up and down thing. And if you can navigate through it and stay positive, mm-hmm. you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like things will work out usually.
Yeah.
And I think that's helps with you staying in the present. So.
Yeah. Wow. What a nice wrap up. But yeah, thank you so much for joining. I thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys like took away as much as I did. Cause like a lot of this advice, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're so similar. Oh my gosh.
We're
like,
really the same.
Yeah. You're speaking we're to same. Me tweeting. But yeah, please check out June's stuff, his progress in his career, his artists, all on June Summer Park. On Instagram, yeah? Mm-hmm. You check out his website, too. It's cool. But, yeah, that's it for today. I will catch you guys next week. Bye!
Bye! Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. Thank you for your time.
No,